Moncrief on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.
Caelan Robertson was born in Ireland but moved to the UK when he was still quite young. But when he became an adult, he was gradually drawn into extreme right-wing politics, first as an online supporter, then making videos for the likes of Tommy Robinson, Lauren Southern and Alex Jones. But then he started to have doubts about the messages he was propagating and came out the other side. Now he works to extract people from right-wing circles and to counter misinformation. And he joins us now on News Talk. Caelan, good afternoon.
Hi, afternoon.
The roots of you going down the rabbit hole, did it have something to do with being a young gay man and perhaps homophobia you'd either experienced or witnessed?
Yeah, definitely. I grew up in Kilkenny, which was a small kind of Catholic city. I mean, small compared to UK cities, I guess. But there was it was very difficult kind of being quite camp or being quite like feminine, I guess, realizing that kind of about yourself at that age. And then, you know, there was a lot of, I guess, back, you know, 10, 15 years ago, it was a bit more religiously like fundamental. I went to a Catholic school there. And I always felt like that was just extremely restrictive, extremely problematic. I remember I moved to the UK when I was 13 to start a new life with my dad, who had just moved there, and kind of felt like it would be a bit more progressive, a bit more open to be able to be like myself. But I didn't really experience any severe problems or issues with homophobia again until I moved to London, where there were groups of Muslim men marching around East London trying to establish quote-unquote Sharia zones, saying that gays should get out of the area. Channel 4 aired a program called The Jihadi Next Door, which was about Muslim extremists in London saying that they wanted to kill gay people. And then the Orlando shooting happened in 2016, America's worst mass shooting, an Islamist and 50 victims in a gay nightclub. And I remember not really understanding anything about Islam or anything about how that stuff works, having loads of questions. I didn't really get many answers from the media, but I remember I typed into YouTube Orlando, and the top rated results were all sites like Rebel Media, which are like hard right kind of activist news outlets. They were saying that this is incompatibility with Islam and LGBT rights and women's rights and free speech. These videos were getting millions of views. As soon as you watch a few of them, you get recommended many, many more. And it really started going down an online specific rabbit hole. And people who were saying this stuff were young men. It was Milo Yiannopoulos, blonde, openly gay. It was Lauren Southern, blonde, young. They weren't, you know, at first seeming, you know, to have the image of like traditional far right or kind of, you know, dodgy extreme people. They looked completely normal. So really a lot of young people, including myself at the time, were really lured in by a lot of that stuff. And then, of course, once you start consuming this and you start watching these videos, you get recommended a ton more about a huge different array of topics, you know, from the dangers of, you know, communism to takedowns of like Sadiq Khan and the mayor of London and no-go zones and all this sort of stuff. And it really starts to just become very, very intense. And looking back, it's, you know, YouTube were pushing more and more extreme content to retain viewership and to keep people watching. But I just really was listening to this stuff all the time. And it really started to form my opinion.
And can you remember then a period, and I assume it was a gradual process, where you started to you were watching more and more of these videos and it started, that seemed to be reality to you and everything outside of that wasn't reality?
Yeah, that's how it is. And it's how it is for so many other people that I speak to now that are still involved in it and trying to walk away from it. And it really has been amplified by the pandemic. The more time you spend on the internet, the less time you spend outside, the more extreme your opinions are going to become. Because again, the algorithms through social media companies to try and keep you on there for as long as possible are going to keep pushing more and more extreme content. And that's how I formed my worldview based on that. I started to mistrust certain groups of people more. I really started to feel like there was going to be some sort of civil war in European countries in 20 or 30 years because of this growing threat of Islamism, and everything was really heightened and a far more extreme version of reality. And it really took me to actually travel the world again and start making documentaries about, you know, the migrant crisis and the refugee crisis to realize that that didn't match with the reality I was reading about online. And the people who were fleeing those countries and fleeing the Middle East were, you know, genuine victims of war and genuinely people that didn't want to come to the West and invade it. They were like absolute victims. And I know that sounds obvious now, but at the time, I genuinely felt like these were fighting age, like invading young men. These were the headlines on my newsfeed.
And I suppose, ironically, you met a lot of these people in the context of making videos for some of these far-right figures, like Lauren Southern, who you mentioned, and Tommy Robinson. Was there also, because I suppose that you want a headline, you want some sort of provocation, also to a degree in producing these videos, you used a lot of skill to kind of slightly nudge the meaning of the context of what people were seeing?
Oh, absolutely. I felt genuinely through a year of consuming this content before I got involved in it, that there was going to be a massive conflict between the people that are coming to Europe and women and gay people, and people needed to be woken up about it. I felt like the media wasn't raising this point, and we had to do that by any means necessary. And if it meant bending the truth a little bit, if it meant being, you know, using techniques to be a little bit more clickbait and a bit more shocking, that was worth it to wake people up and have people understand what we were saying and have people join our, you know, movement. And looking back, it's terrible. Like, I regret making all of that stuff and being part of that, but it really felt like we needed to do that to bring people on board and to wake people up. We felt like the media weren't doing a good job of it. Terror attacks were sweeping Europe, and we wanted to warn people about it.
And could you give us an example of what kind of things you used to do, Caelan?
I mean, just be selectively at it, I guess. So we would go to a protest that would be left wing, and we would interview a bunch of people, and selectively, you know, at the end, we would edit out the ones that were more reasonable and only keep in the kind of more crazy reactions, or the more, you know, maybe only keep in some of the people that didn't really know why they were there, and then painted the entire crowd to reflect that, which is, you know, it's not great. And it was basically done to be like, well, the left don't have the answers to all of this, and they don't really know why they're protesting, and they don't really know what they stand for. So it was kind of selectively editing to kind of paint a more extreme picture.
And when you were traveling around Europe and meeting refugees, who were you working for at that point? And did you kind of express, God, actually, you know, out loud at the time, this isn't what I thought it was?
Yeah, very vocally. I was working for Lauren Southern at that time. I had stopped working with Tommy Robinson because he started saying that actually it's not Islam as an idea that's the problem, it's actual Muslims, and it started to become extremely racist, more than I really realized he believed in. And so just was working with Lauren. When we were on the coast of Turkey that night, we were terrified and genuinely thought that there were going to be, you know, these migrants were going to come through the bushes. We had heard that people had guns and human traffickers. And like genuinely right in front of us, the people that walked through to get onto rubber dinghies to Europe were women and children, and were just completely, you know, as I described earlier, were just victims of this stuff. And I remember turning around to Lauren and being like, I hope they made it to Europe. After three years or two years of being involved in all this stuff, and after advocating that immigration is stopped immediately, the borders are closed immediately, and pushing propaganda against these people, I genuinely hope that they made it to safety, because it was terrifying for them being in Turkey. And that was the last movie I ever made for the right. I remember.
How did she reply when you said that to her?
I remember she just looked out the window and stayed silent. I think a lot of people that I work with knew, but deep down, that a lot of it was nonsense. But a lot of people are profiting from this. They're the ones making a huge amount of money from it. They're the ones that have massive livelihoods. They're the face of it. So it's much harder for them to state that they're wrong and walk away, which is really unfortunate, because I know a lot of those people don't really believe the stuff that they push out anymore. But it was sad. I remember I gave the footage to Lauren and I said, let's tell the stories of these refugees, and then I'm going to retire and I'm not going to take part in this stuff anymore.
Was it difficult then? That was your last film. Was it difficult to kind of walk away from that community, if you like?
It's hard, because when you get involved in the extreme right online, your normal friends and anyone in your previous life, even lots of family, will distance themselves from you, and you'll be in a far worse echo chamber. You'll never have your opinions like questioned, and it's much easier to become more extreme. So I didn't have anywhere to go when I walked away. There was no community or place. I literally just had to go and live in a village and work in a pub for a year to just reconnect with normal society again and try and build new friendships and just start to build a new life. It's extremely hard, and there's a lot of hostility. The far right in Milo Yiannopoulos wrote horrific lies and stuff about me, saying I was a government agent the whole time, and I'm a secret, you know, asset, and I'm trying to you know, all of this crazy, crazy stuff that made me realize I actually left a cult. And it was really hard. It's only now, 2 years later, that I've actually been able to fully, you know, recover from it mentally, just because of how toxic it was and how difficult it was and how embarrassing it was to even know that I had those views for so long and just to understand how that was even possible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And was it also difficult because, you know, work for Byline for their TV arm. For people who are kind of anti-alt-right, did they treat you with suspicion initially? I mean, I've read things online that, yeah, sure, he's sorry about what he did. People even today who would still be skeptical.
Yeah, I mean, they're Byline Times and the network around it are full of genuine progressives who believe that, you know, people who join Islamist networks and walk away and try to reverse that and should be able to be redeemed and walk back into society. They believe in rehabilitation. They also believe in creating a better world. And to stop the far right, we have to be able to allow people to leave it and to dismantle it. There are a small handful of very, very far left extremists who will never tolerate people like me walking away. They say, once a Nazi, always a Nazi. They say this and this and this. And I am not doing this for their acceptance. I'm not doing this for them to like me. They're always going to think that. I think it's dangerous, but that's the way it's going to be. My work speaks for itself now. I make millions of views, you know, a month, exposing the far right, exposing disinformation, people that voted leave that regret for it. And I feel like I'm actively dismantling the stuff I used to do before, but also helped putting my skills towards genuine content that's progressive, that's not going to result in, you know, real world violence or
Yeah, when you say progressive, what do you mean? I mean, how have your political views changed then?
So it's hard. I'm not a left winger now. I'm not a right winger. I just know that the route that I took to find those answers is just as bad as the Islamist attack that happened in 2016 that led me down all these questions. I know that the route down the far left is the wrong route to take because that funnels extremists towards the right. And I know that the far right is the wrong route to take. And in the middle, I don't really have any opinions. I think that disinformation is bad. There are people who profit from it on the internet. There are people who are, you know, people like Farage who are telling people lies and fishermen that I've spoken to. But yeah, I haven't gone from one side to the other. I just know how dangerous and how toxic certain routes can be.
Mm. And Future Freedom is a project you set up to try and help people leave the far right. Is it your sense that there are many people who want to do that but find it difficult somehow?
Well, if you looked at how difficult it was for me to leave, a lot of the people who are ingrained in those systems, people in the Proud Boys, people in Tommy Robinson circles in the UK, are treated terribly if they question their ideology or if they ever say that they might want to walk away or might want to leave. Their idea that you're a traitor is worse than being someone that's on the left. They'll come after you. They could come after you physically. There's nowhere for those people to go because they'll have lost a lot of their friends and family and they'll feel completely isolated. And the main problem is there are almost no examples of people walking out of those movements because they're so recent. They're 2016 onwards. They're online. And so I set up Future Freedom to elevate stories of people that managed to walk away from that stuff all across the world and to be able to say, you can do this too. You can reconnect with your family, your friends. And all we want to do is not drive people to the left or anything like that. Just walk away from the far right. And we've been inundated with requests and inundated with people reaching out and people looking for advice and support. And we've been able to facilitate so much of that. And it feels really great because I haven't just walked away. I've now actually managed to help pull loads of other people out and just help them take that first step they need towards, you know, counseling or therapy or just starting a new life.
Caelan Robinson is co-founder of Future Freedom and director at Byline TV. Caelan, thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Moncrief on News Talk,
brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.